Calcio Land Podcast with David Amoyal.
Benvenuti, as we would say in Italy. Welcome to all of you that don't speak Italian. Thank you so much for joining us for the Friday episode of the Calcio Land Podcast. So we're down to the nitty-gritty of a fantastic Scudetto race. So today on the show, we're going to cover that pretty much exclusively. I wanted to bring on both an Inter-related guest, and we brought in Richard Hall, who usually comes here to talk about the whole league, but he's been very involved with Inter's official podcast in English. So today you'll hear the Inter perspective from him, and then we're going to close the show with our dear friend Daniele Mazzanti from Vox to Box, and he's based in Milano on Milan. So we'll close on that. Of course, we have a part of the show for our patrons, and of course, with Serie A key games down the stretch, we of course have to hear from Thousand Names with his predictions. So at the top, I'm excited to talk big picture with our dear friend, the producer, co-host of the show, Alex Goldberg. You know, we love talking about narratives on the podcast, and we try to always predict what the narratives would be. I predicted a few weeks ago that no matter what happened the rest of the way, Pioli was going to be manager of the year in Serie A. But now I want to look at it a little bit differently. So I want to look at things from a legacy standpoint. So, Alex, I know the word deserve in sports is maybe overrated. It's not maybe that important. And maybe one of the reasons that we love sports is the unpredictability of the results. But I want to look at it hypothetically with Inter and Milan with the storylines. And in your opinion, which of the storylines would be more deserving of the title? So let's start with Inter. We remember the moment when Lukaku to Chelsea felt like it was definitely going to happen. A lot of people thought the sky was falling so much that Inter wouldn't even make the top four. They had lost Hakimi and Conte before. So three of the most important players, figures of them winning the title. So that happened. They are in contention to now win the Italian treble. They won the Super Cup, the Coppa Italia, despite that. And I would add on top of that, and I think this is very important to note, they also got out of the group stage in the Champions Leagues with Conte didn't do. And let's be honest, they really gave Liverpool a good run for their money. So if Inter wins the Scudetto, that's the storyline on why they are really deserving in the adversity they overcame. Let's look at the Milan side of things. Going into the season, I didn't think they were a top four team. I'll be very honest. I'm not afraid to admit when I'm wrong. I thought the Donnarumma loss was going to be very serious. Turned out not to be. Turned out you can make a case they upgraded, at least in the short term. We saw Çalhanoğlu, who they really didn't replace, and he goes to Inter and actually has a good season so far. And despite that, they are in first place. They improved organically. They cut wages significantly over the years. There's a lot of these tweets out there on Put Respect on Maldini's name for cutting the payroll over the years. They drew a line in the sand with agents saying this is what we're comfortable doing, but not anymore. And they improved. So between these two storylines, which one do you think is more deserving?
Yeah, like you said, deserving is sometimes not even that important of a word in sports. I don't like the word, but I'm definitely in favor of the question. It's an interesting question. But yeah, I normally don't like the word because, like, example, Chelsea fans this season have said, this is a random example, Mateo Kovacic deserves to be captain next season. And I'm thinking, well, sure, he's a good player, well-liked by his teammates, but you give someone the captain's armband because he deserves it. Doesn't mean he should be. You know, there's a big difference between deserves and should be. That's just kind of my example there as to why I bring it up. So I think it's Milan, David. And now I hear the argument for Inter. I mean, losing such big names in Antonio Conte, who of course was a driving force above all to what they achieved last season, dethroning his old team, if you will, right? And then Lukaku, the star power there. And then, you know, Hakimi to an extent, the star power there for at least his specific position of wingback, and the fact that PSG and Chelsea wanted him and probably other teams. Like, I get that. That's heavy. That is heavy to lose. It really, really is. And to then, like you said, get out of Champions League group stages when people thought maybe they couldn't, and putting up a fight against Liverpool, and now being on the brink of possibly a treble. Yeah, that's impressive. And listen, they've played well throughout the season. Like, they've been, no question, a really tough team to play, at the very least. Like, a really tough team to play, a team that won't roll over. So, you know, they deserve it. So, you know, I put that in quotes. They deserve it. With that said, I think it's Milan. Because, first of all, losing your keeper is huge. Now, I know Maignan, of course, like you kind of just alluded to, he's been really good. Maybe even right now, a short-term upgrade. I know he's young, so I mean, he could be a long-term, but you know, maybe even just in year one, it's been a small upgrade if you really look at it with extra context. But you lost Donnarumma. You lost your keeper that was there for a good while. I know he's young, but was there for a good while and was one of, David, the only positive things he had going for a while. I mean, Donnarumma for a good handful of years was one of the very few positives Milan had to their name. So that's big. And Samir Handanovic is there for Inter. I understand they lost other players, but like, he's been a staple, and it's really nice to keep a staple, especially when that staple's in net. So that could really shake things up, because you lose a keeper of that quality, especially how you lose him. And man, you could have an improved midfield, improved attack, and you could still be shipping 2, 3, 4 goals a game. So the fact that that's not the case, and you know, they did obviously smart business before with center backs. Tomori's been huge. You know, they're really a tough team to score against normally. That's impressive. And they've been so resolute this season. You know, I've talked about the resiliency. That's kind of why I've picked them still, even down the stretch, is they're not breaking. You know, they might not be absolutely hitting the ground blazing every game, but they're not breaking, the bend but do not break type attitude. So, like, I put a lot of value in that, and I like that. So I think they deserve it for that. But also, I mean, where's also the recognition for the fact that Hakan Çalhanoğlu has gone to not just a different team, but to the other team in this question, David? Like, he's on Inter. He has 7 goals and 11 assists on Inter. So that's another reason why I think Milan really deserve it, right? Because they didn't just lose one of the players that's been really important to them for a while now. They lost him to the other team in this conversation, the other team who's trying to get the title. And they've just been so steady, and they've been able to hold this top spot now for a good while. So I really like that. Like, I really, and I know that I've complimented this in this answer and I did on the previous episode, but I just like this resiliency, because David, I still would argue, like, I know now with Leao, like, right, there's some potential star power there long term. You know, clubs around Europe are looking at him. He's super exciting. I had Azmir Begovic on my podcast the other week, who of course was at Milan for half a season a couple seasons ago, and he said, man, Leao, what a talent. You know, what a pure talent that could probably play for anyone. So I understand they have names like Leao, and Theo is really impressive, and Tonali, obviously a good young midfielder, and Tomori, and then you got older guys in Giroud and Zlatan. But I still feel like, I don't want to call it a Mr. Potato Head, which is just a complete random assortment of parts, but they've all just kind of been part of Milan here in really disconnected ways, but they've come together. Like, it's not like they just built all of this together on purpose, if you find me. Whereas Inter, I know they lost their names, but like, they've had Barella now trying to get part of the team and now being a big part of the team for a little while now. They've had Lautaro. They've had Skriniar. They've had Samir Handanovic, like I said. You know, they've had guys like Ivan Perisic. Like, they've had still a bit more of their identity within the team. I think that's totally fair to say. So I know they lost their manager and they lost their star in Lukaku. But like, another thing is they lost Lukaku, but they got Dzeko, and Dzeko's this in-league proven striker, you know, to then pair with Lautaro. So I don't know. I know the names are bigger in terms of what Inter lost, but I still feel like what Milan lost, and then if you just add a little bit more context, it could have shook them a lot more, in my opinion. So yeah, for that reason, just the resiliency they've shown, I think they deserve it just a little bit more. But like we both have said now, deserve, probably an overrated word in sports. But yeah, I would kind of cater to the Milan side there. What about you?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. The answer is Milan. I agree. Look, I think you can make a great case for, let's say, Napoli or Juve. You know, where the other team, I think then, yeah, you could maybe argue Inter. But look, I think Milan, you know, there's this saying that, you know, when talent and effort are kind of at the same level, effort will always trump talent. And I think Milan really are the definition of this. They've overcome so much adversity. We've covered Pioli on this podcast before while he was at Inter. Actually, that was our first season. Now his team totally ran out of gas at the end of the season. That had been something that wasn't the only time that happened with his teams. And this season, it didn't happen at all. They find new solutions to do well. Using Tonali almost in a striker role against Verona worked out great. They just keep finding ways to win. I try to really not talk often about referees on the podcast, but I think if you looked at it over the course of the season, I'm sure there's Milan fans could come up with a lot of examples where maybe things didn't go their way. And look, I'm sure Inter fans could too, but I think a neutral would kind of look at it if you had to look one side or the other. Beyond that, also injuries. You know, Napoli outsider made the case that maybe Inzaghi's work's a little bit overrated, that Inter really didn't have that many injuries, even with COVID. It kind of happened that their players tested positive before international break. So a lot of things went their way there. Inter have a significantly higher payroll. So yeah, for me, I agree with you. The answer is Milan. Look, I really wanted to be right predicting Inter. I wanted to remind everyone that on the day Lukaku was sold, I was like, I still think Inter can win the Scudetto. I would love to take a victory lap on that. But Milan has made sure that it's not going to be a cakewalk for Inter. So really good for them. I think they are an absolute great storyline, and even the off the field stuff, you know, even the Çalhanoğlu thing, Inter just offers slightly more and he goes over and they still overcome that. So really good for them. Let's look at it, though. Let's take the deserve part out of it, and let's look at it more as legacy storyline. And what do you think would be a better storyline for Serie A? The Milan getting back to a title that haven't won the Scudetto, I think, in 12 years now. This resurgence, this team that has done a lot of things right. Or if Inter wins, that maybe this is the beginning of a new dominating team in Serie A 2 years in a row. The Marotta thing at Inter, starting the new cycle, ending the one at Juve. From like a storyline perspective and how the season is remembered, is there one that you think would be a better look for Serie A?
I'm torn because I do think it would be kind of cool for all of a sudden Juve go on this long Scudetto run, and then it doesn't just get ended, but it gets ended by a team that then goes on their own run, right? So, I mean, I know it's nothing compared to what Juve did, but even two in a row would be like, oh, wait a minute, Inter's back. Inter's back, and now there's a new giant within Serie A. For some reason, though, David, even if they won, it wouldn't feel like that to me. And I don't know if that's just because I look at their team and I don't necessarily see anywhere close to the squad that you'd expect from a team that's winning two times in a row. That's not to insult the likes of Barella and Lautaro, and I know that almost sounds contradictory to when I first gave the answer and I was saying, well, look, Inter still have a spine and a core. That can be true, but it can also be true that it's not necessarily this incredible roster, if you will, that I'd expect to win two titles in a row. And I just don't know, when you phrase it, what would be better for Serie A, if it would even be good for Juve to go on the long run, and then boom, now a new team start the new run. Now, if it was a different team and not Milan, maybe I would side with Inter. Although if it was like Atalanta, it'd be an even better story, right? Because it would be a true Cinderella story. I know they're not close, but like, I guess it would also depend on the other team it would be. But I have to say, I think it would be a better story for Milan to win the title. Because when a lot of casuals, if you will, think of Serie A, you think of AC Milan. And you think of Inter Milan, of course. And yeah, Juve too. But that would probably be a pretty good sign if Juve go on this long, long, long Scudetto run. then Inter break it. And then the next season, Milan and Inter are in a battle and Milan edge it out. Like, that feels good. That feels good from a Serie A perspective. And because I do think there might be even some more symbolic talents within the Milan squad, and maybe even some talents that can build an impressive core for a little while. Like, we'll see how long Leao can be on AC Milan. But Tomori, I know I'm biased, but there's a nice story there. Like, a young English center back from, and I'm just saying Chelsea because, you know, they're a big club that just won the Champions League. Like, there's a nice story there of, oh, look what's happening there. Like, something different, you know? They're meshing a lot of talents. Like, they have the Italian talent in Sandro Tonali. Like, it's kind of just cool. You know, Leao, a young Portuguese attacker. Tonali, the classic young Italian midfielder. Fagayo Tomori, a young English center back. I like that. Mignon is pretty young, right? Like, well, he's in his mid-20s, yeah, but still.
26,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, French goalkeeper. And then they have, obviously, the more senior heads at striker like Zlatan and Giroud. But, you know, Theo, of course, like a really dynamic left wing back, left back, whatever you want to call him, 24 from France. Like, I don't know. I feel like, if you want to even just dive into the players, there might be a better story there of like what that could signal for the future. Because even if they lose one or two of those guys, I feel like they're putting themselves back on the map again for a team to be a destination. You know, like I feel like they absolutely could be. And like I said, really the first part of my answer, David, the way you phrased the end of the question, what would be a better story for Serie A? I like the story of Juve go in the long run, then Inter end it. And then Milan, the next season, go in this battle with Inter, and then Milan just immediately take it from Inter. Like, that feels better for Serie A, in my opinion. What about you?
Yeah, because I was just thinking as you were going through it that, you know, one of the big storylines on Juve winning so many in a row was the decline of the clubs from Milan, so both Milan and Inter. So if the story ends that Juve lost their streak and then in back-to-back years you had the two teams from Milan winning it instead of just one of them, I do think it's better. Now, on one hand, you could say, because I think Inter are the more talented team. And look, you know, I know a lot of Milan fans are going to roll their eyes, and fair enough, it's my opinion. So I could say, okay, you look at it from the outside, you could say, oh, Inter are a strong team. They took Liverpool to the brink for what that's worth and all. But I'm with you. I think the storyline of, okay, Juve dominated, the Milanese club struggled so much, and then they both got back on track. And again, I do think the storyline of Milan off the pitch being, you know, reasonable and sustainable and all, to me, sends really, really a great message there. Then I'm sure, you know, if Milan win, there'll be the storyline of Ibrahimovic changing the mentality at the club. And I do think he deserves a lot of credit with that. Them, you know, winning with Kier, also getting hurt halfway through the season. So, yeah, I think overall it would be better. So these were hypotheticals, and let's continue with another hypothetical. So, look, we've talked about Dybala potentially going to Inter. Does he owe anything to Juve fans? Blah, blah, blah. We've covered that ad nauseum. But after the Coppa Italia final, Perisic once again coming through in a big moment, he was asked about Inter, and they've been negotiating a contract with him. His contract expires in a few weeks. And his answer was like, listen, with an important player like me, you really should not wait until the last minute. So there's a lot of reports out there that Inter are offering him a two-year deal for like slightly less wages than he's now. With bonuses, he wants to be paid more. You'll hear in the interview with Richard Hall, and I asked him, look, you know, is Perisic Inter's MVP? And he said, absolutely. And he also made a point that if Inter win the Scudetto, you can make a case that Perisic is the MVP for all of Serie A. And I got to be honest, I had never thought of it that way, but I think you absolutely can make that case. Perisic has been absolutely sensational, especially recently. So let me ask you this, completely hypothetical, because there's just rumors on the Dybala to Inter side, which Marotta did not particularly quell. Who do you think would improve more? Let's say Dybala signs with Inter on a Bosman and Juve does answers by signing Perisic to kind of slot in on the wing and be the attack. Because I think if he goes to Juve, you'd have Perisic, Vlahovic, Chiesa. So I gotta be honest. If this Perisic is even 80% of what we saw this season, that could be really good. But do you think the potential of what Dybala could bring, a Dybala revenge against Juve, which of the two do you think improves more?
So tough, right? Because I almost feel like Perisic, and by the way, it's really funny because while we're recording this, there are now a boatload of rumors about Ivan Perisic maybe going to Chelsea, which is very funny. And, you know, it's not from the best sources, but it's now being reported by a few different outlets. The obvious factor is he won't re-sign at Inter, and yeah, he could go to Juve. So on Perisic, I feel like he's the more sure thing, right? Like Dybala is probably the more naturally talented player, like the bigger star-like name, but I have more faith, David, in Perisic being good and impactful for Juve than I do with Dybala being what he should be at Inter, because it just all comes down to how he's used. You know, like, that's the thing, and injuries. You know, it just all comes down to that. And I kind of think, can Dybala coexist with Lautaro? I feel like they should be able to, but then again, I feel like they're actually, you know, I know they're not the same player, and also I know they're different strong feet, right? Dybala left foot and Lautaro right foot. But I do kind of feel like they're that center forward, or they're that striker in a two that needs the classic striker in a way. So I almost wonder if that works, if they're the right players to be paired with each other. And the storyline is nice, right? Oh, okay, the revenge for Dybala going to Inter and everything. But how often does the storyline work? I mean, the storyline doesn't always work. I'm being very recent here with Lukaku going back to Chelsea and that being a storyline. But I don't know, David. Like, I want to say Perisic going to Juve might improve them more. Really, and also just because, like, Dybala's been good for Juve, but he's also been inconsistent. And he also has been a player that's been hard to depend upon. And I feel like Perisic might be more dependable. So, you know, I think safe money's on Perisic. Like, maybe the odds are better for Dybala. Maybe. Even though Vegas still might, like, just because Dybala is technically the better player, they actually might not even make the odds better for Dybala. But, like, the ceiling's probably better for Dybala at Inter than Perisic at Juve. But I feel like the safer answer is Perisic at Juve. You feel me on that one?
Absolutely. You, and that was exactly going to be my point. I feel like the upside would be higher for Dybala at Inter. And look, I don't expect Perisic to be quite as good when he signs the next contract. Look, we love the NBA. I mean, how many times have we seen guys in their contract year go all out? But I still think he'd be really, really good. I think he's had an amazing late surge in his career. I think if he stays in Serie A, he's still going to be really good. And look, I get the argument from Inter fans when you hear this is like, well, we have Gosens if Perisic leaves. Fair. Gosens, fantastic at Atalanta in that system. I think you'd be really, really hard-pressed to sign any player that can bring a lot to what Perisic does, especially in that system that Inzaghi has. So I totally get that argument on the side of things. And remember, when Inter signed Gosens, maybe the idea was just like, look, Perisic is going to leave and we're just getting his replacement now. He's older. Thank you. But then he really went up a notch after Gosens came in. I don't know if there's a correlation there. I think he's been playing for his next contract and to win a title. I'm sure he really cares about that. So yeah, I agree. And look, I'm kind of fascinated by the idea of Di Maria signing with Juve, and that's a report out there. I have yet to really see Juve linked with Perisic beside the idea. But look, as much as I love Di Maria and I would have always loved to see him see in Serie A, I'm just not sure if I'd rather have him than this version of Perisic. So great stuff there for sure.
All right. So, David, like we always do after the first segment, we look ahead. Hey, we don't have many more weekends of this, so we look ahead to the weekend coming up. Remember, people out there, gamble responsibly if that's how you treat this segment, but let's introduce 1,000 Names. Well, indirectly, who are you and 1,000 picking for this weekend?
Well, yeah, I think you guys can pretty much have an idea of who Fausen thinks is going to win the Scudetto. So, yeah, please be responsible with his picks. All right. So we're going to go over, obviously, the two games involving Milan and Inter, and we're also going to pick Juve Lazio. Exciting. Sarri back in Turin. So we'll start with let's start with the Juve match. We're going to build up the suspense. Juve Lazio, Fausen has 1-1 goals by Di Sciglio and Immobile. He's going to say Sarri's going to be jeered, despite the fact he's the last manager to have won a Scudetto in Turin. Man, I got so many thoughts on Allegri. We're going to save that for another day. And then he says Chiellini is going to get a standing ovation. Another player I have a lot of thoughts on. This is going to be his last home game at Juve, and then Thousand Names is going to say that Dybala is going to scream Forza Inter in Agnelli's face. In Italian, Juve Lazio 1-1, De Sciglio Immobile, Sarri fischiato nonostante sia l'ultimo allenatore ad aver vinto lo scudetto a Torino, standing ovation per Chiellini, Dybala grida Forza Inter in faccia ad Agnelli. So Juve now has absolutely nothing to play for, first season where they don't win a trophy in ages. I'm sure Sarri will be motivated, trying to show them up in his return there. Lazio have been really up and down, but you know what? It is Chiellini's last match. I'm going to agree with Fausen. It's going to be a draw. I'm going to have it 2-2. I'm going to go Vlahovic, Dybala, and Immobile and Milinkovic-Savic for Lazio. Let's get to the two Scudetto contenders. I'll start with Inter. They travel to Sardinia to play Cagliari. Fausen has a winning 1-0 goal by Di Marco. He says Lautaro and Perisic are going to miss penalties. Then he says Agostini, who is Cagliari's new manager, is going to call the police after another robbery by Simone Inzaghi, and that Marotta is going to be in handcuffs. In Italian, Cagliari, Inter 0-1, Di Marco, Lautaro and Perisic sbagliano rigore. Agostini chiama Carabinieri dopo l'ennesimo furto di limone Marotta in manette. I think Inter are going to win. Cagliari, you know how a lot of times people complain about Juve having friendly clubs when I think of Cagliari and Inter, to me, that's kind of like the equivalent. Yeah, they are still in the relegation race. I do think Inter are going to make it interesting. I'm going to go 1-0, but I'll give a goal to Lautaro. And then the key game on Sunday, Gasperini coming to Milan. I've been saying this a lot. I find it very ironic and intriguing that Milan have to get through Atalanta and Sassuolo to win the Scudetto, because in recent years, Milan fans have been really chirping at Atalanta and Sassuolo, which to me really shows you that unfortunately Milan really needs to get back to their old standards. But I digress. Fausen has it 1-1, goals by Muriel Calabria. He says Pasalic is going to get a red card. He says Gasperini is an old Interista heart. He barely coached there. And he says Pioli is going to crumble under pressure, and that Diaz and Messias are simply ridiculous and not in a good way. In Italian, Milan, Atalanta 1-1, Muriel Calabria, espulso Pasalic, Gasperini, vecchio cuore Interista. Pioli crolla sotto pressione, Diaz e Messias semplicemente ridicoli. Oof, a lot to unpack here. So Milan at home, going to be a huge crowd. I remember going into the season, a lot of people were like, you know what? It's kind of helping Milan with their young players that there isn't a huge crowd at San Siro. They're doing better there. They're going to struggle once the fans come back. That's another thing Milan have overcome. That's a storyline we've talked about on the pod. Been completely proven wrong. Now, Atalanta and Gasperini, do they like sticking it to Milan? Yeah, I think they like sticking it to pretty much everyone, but maybe especially Milan. But you know what? I'm riding Milan here. I'm going to have them winning 1-0, and I'm going to give a goal to Giroud. I did predict that if he gets to 12, Milan definitely win the Scudetto. So, excellent. So, those are our picks. Fausen has Inter taking the lead in the standings again. I have Milan holding serve, and then we go into the last match of the season. So, now we are going to cover the two teams. It's very very important. And we'll probably do that next week as well. So we're going to start with Richard Hall for the Inter side. And because Milan are at the top of the standings, they go last with Daniele Mazzante. Very excited to welcome our next guest. Been a long time a part of the show and a dear friend of mine, Richard Hall. You guys knew him at the beginning on Football Italia, where he's been writing a ton. He's been contributing to Fiorentina. And recently, well, not so recent, it's been months now, he's been doing a great job as the host of the official Inter podcast. So usually when we have Richard on, we go around the league, but today we're going to focus more on the Inter side of things with the stretch run of the season. So my dear friend, it's always a real pleasure to chat with you. Bentornato to Calcioland.
Have me back, David. It's always good to be on here. And yes, it's a long time since I've been coming on here, and it's always good fun.
All right, so let's start here. We're recording this Thursday morning early here in Boston, almost noon by you. Inter, it was a very exciting Coppa Italia final. So let me just ask you this. What were your main takeaways from the match?
The Inter are going to give me a heart attack one of these days. I think the one thing is resilience. At one point, I wasn't expecting it to start the second half as they did. I thought that they would grow on what they'd done in the first half, even though Juventus had a really, really good period of pressure, sort of mid to end of the first half. I thought Inter would come back out. But the resilience they showed after going 2-1 down, I mean, I was in Milan, as you know, David, for the game against Empoli again, and they were 2-0 down there, and then coming back again, it just shows that they have that fight. And I think as a football fan, you hear so many people talk about the same words. I mean, we've got a really frustrating and annoying, we've got annoying commentators sometimes in here in the UK, and they tend to not talk about tactics, but they always use the same words, and it's always about desire and will and fight. And in one respect, I suppose, as a football fan, that's all you really want. You want to see your team doing everything they can. And I think from Inter's point of view, you know, this it's obviously the Supercoppa Italiana is already in the bag. Now the Coppa Italia is there. It's already a successful season, and you know that they're not going to give up between now and the end. So it's just a little bit of satisfaction in that sense that, you know, I think this season can be closed out, even if Inter finish second, feeling that, okay, there was some chances missed, but you got to credit Milan if they go all the way and win it. But I don't think any Inter fan can really look at the season and be disappointed.
Yeah, you know, I think it's fair, especially if we remember what the vibe and feeling was on the day that Lukaku went to Chelsea. I think the vast majority of people even wondered if top four was realistic, never mind the certainty. So, yeah, I agree. And look, you know, when you win trophies, it definitely counts for a lot. So I want to ask you this. When you look at yesterday's game and there's still the Scudetto race to go, do you see the matches yesterday a potential psychological boost for Inter? It did seem they got back on track and said, yeah, when they did beat Juve and Turin a little while back. Or do you look at it, okay, we had this game midweek. Not only that, it went to overtime. It's going to take some physical toll. Which of the two do you think is more true?
I think there's an element to both. Without sitting on the fence, I think, of course, the team's going to be tired. But when you look at it, you know, you've got players in every position that can come in into squad. We've talked about is quite deep, and so there is potential to switch it around a little bit. Cagliari's next game up, of course, on Sunday night, I think, and you'd hope that Inter would have enough to overcome that. We assumed even against Bologna, when obviously we know there's the infamous mistake, and but the team still had a ridiculous amount of shots on goal, a lot of possession. So you expect the same against Cagliari, and so therefore you'd imagine that should be enough considering the Sardinians' position at this moment in time. So it's a nice fixture, probably the best way of putting it, to have. And of course, mentally, it's a huge boost, you know, to have that Coppa Italia there. You hope that at the very least the team can run on adrenaline and take that in. And listen, when I was in Milan the other day, what surprised me was looking at the coaching staff on the bench when with the game against Empoli, just how involved Inzaghi and the rest of them are. From that to the media team, everybody, the stadium was so tense. It was really, really on fire. The atmosphere was incredible. And there's a real belief. There is a huge belief. And so for me, I'm quite positive that they should be able to get these last two games over the line against Cagliari and Sampdoria. And the pressure in one respect, especially like I said before, because Inter have got the Coppa d'Italia under the belt, is on Milan. And despite both Atalanta and Sassuolo not being probably in the best of form at the moment, they're dangerous sides to play before now in the end of the season.
Yeah, I certainly agree there. So I want to ask you about Perisic, who's had a really unbelievable season with his contracts at the Spire. Perfect timing for him. When you look at Inter season, do you think a case could be made that he's been the most valuable player on the team?
Easily. I think easily, if not in Serie A. I've got a vested interest with Perisic. I mean, when he first came to Milan, I can't remember what year it was, 2015, I interviewed him and I'd sort of, I'm about the same height as him, and I stood next to him and he looked scrawny. And you look at him now and I'd love to stand next to him again because he's just an absolute machine. Obviously, all his kickboxing's helping him and everything else he's doing. He seems to have got, he's stolen the plans from the Bayern Munich pre-season gym, I think. But yeah, he's been sensational. And the fact that he's out of contract, I think give him what he wants because he's still got enough in the tank to go for a couple more seasons in my eyes. I think what you've seen with him this season is he's become so defensively good. Is a part of his game he always needed to work on. That relationship with not just what multiple players around him, they seem to just know what he's going to do, even though he's unpredictable. He talks a lot on the pitch. He's confident. And obviously now he's scoring goals as well. And I think he's become a real leader in the team. You know, there was always that problematic situation way back when, which we didn't want to talk about, with the situation with Icardi and Brozovic and everything that was going on. And it sort of sullied it a bit. But he went away. He won a treble. You know, he's come back and he's shown that he's, like you say, the most valuable player, which is really a high thing to say this season because we've seen the likes of Canaloglu. Who else now? You know, you're looking at the likes of Martinez, of course. Really, Brozovic, all these players who've had outstanding seasons. But Perisic is the man for me who, in those situations, when things are really down, he's the man who seems to be able to really bring Inter out and really bring them out fighting.
So Milan do control their destiny. As you mentioned, they have two games against Atalanta, Sassuolo, two teams that don't have much to play for, but I would say two teams that Milan fans in particular have had a lot of animosity towards in recent years for different reasons. That should be fun in and of itself. But from an Inter perspective, I'm going to give you a chance to take away one player from Milan for the next two games to increase Inter's chances of winning the Scudetto. Who are you picking and why?
Tough one. For me, it's Sandro Tonali because I think every single Inter fan on the planet, and this is no disrespect to Vidal, because with Vidal, whilst on the pitch, you know, you might not see, you know, people think maybe he's a liability. Off the pitch, from what I'm told from people within Inter, that his personality goes a long way to show the fight and the desire that's in this team. Even when I was watching him against Empoli, DiMarco was taking corners and Vidal was literally like a coach. He was literally dictating where to take them, where to put them. He couldn't wait to get on the field. So, but I mean, if Sandro Tonali had come to Inter instead, wow, I mean, what a player he will be. How he's developing, he's fantastic. And, you know, the fact that he's adding goals to his game now just means that he's probably better than anyone thought he was going to be at this stage, which says a lot. And I think when you look at the other player I would have definitely said was Rafael Leao.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about him here before, and the fact that for the first part of his career in Milan, yes, he's quick. Yes, he's good with the ball, but he ran down blind alleys. He was just taking people on for the sake of taking people on. Now he's very tactically intelligent, makes the right runs, very dynamic, and he's dangerous. He really is. He's not, you know, his game's come on so much that, you know, I think any team would like to have him, especially, you know, when Inter reverts, which is not as often this season because they're more free under Inzaghi. But I think under Conte, if you had a player like Rafael Leao, that would have been very, very dangerous. So, but no, I'm going to go Tonali because at the moment he seems to be on form as well. He seems to be that guy who's coming up in the big games. And from an Inter perspective, of course, you know, for the next two, we could just do him sitting that out.
So, Richards, let's close on this. And I want to thank you once again for your great contributions. You've been part of the show every season we've covered, and you've been outstanding. So I want to thank you for that. I know you're going to finish strong on the Inter podcast. So let me ask you this. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that Inter are going to win the Scudetto?
I'm going to go 8. And the reason being, I just feel the momentum is there for Inter. That game against Empoli, seeing the crowd as they were, maybe it's just because I was there, so maybe I'm being biased and it's only my opinion, which means very little, but just seeing how the crowd changed, seeing how that lifted, seeing the facts of the Coppa d'Italia and how they came back then, it just feels that Inter have got this thing about coming back, and it feels like the narrative of the season, which, I've used so many horrible words there, the words like narrative and probably the end of the journey that Inter are on and all those things, but you know, it just feels like it. It feels like it. And the thing is, if Inter had Atalanta and Sassuolo to play, I'd be a lot more nervous than having Cagliari and Sampdoria. So from that, I'm taking a little bit of hope. But listen, I want to say this. If Milan win it, it is well-deserved.
Absolutely.
They're outstanding this season. And I actually think they're overperformed. And the job that Pioli's done, people need to start taking him seriously and making him, you know, considering him as an elite coach rather than just the old safe pair of hands that he used to be.
You know, I liked what you said earlier on Perisic maybe being the MVP of the whole Serie A, not just Inter. And if Inter win the Scudetto, I think a good case could be made for that. But I think no matter what happens the rest of the way, Pioli is the manager of the year, and he probably had sealed that a little while ago. So, Richard, I can't thank you enough, buddy. It's been a great time covering Calcio with you. As usual, keep up the great work. I look forward to doing this in the future.
Oh, absolutely, David. Thank you for this. You let me on this great podcast. And listen, you know, I will certainly be back next season, if not before.
Okay, we've wrapped a great patron segment there. Really one for the ages. If you enjoy hearing us on the Friday show, consider becoming a patron. You can also supporting us by retweeting the show, leaving us a review on iTunes. I read them all. You can follow us on Spotify, and please leave us a 5-star rating. So we're going to close the show with our dear friend Daniele Mazzanti to get the Milan perspective. Very excited to welcome the next guest. He's been doing a fantastic job bringing us a perspective on Milan from Milano, Daniele Mazzanti, one of the hosts of the outstanding podcast Vox to Box, which is now an empire of podcasts. We were catching up before for their plans in the summer. I'm really, really excited. I'm a proud patron of all the Vox to Box products. Really, really great stuff. If you're learning Italian, if you're fluent in Italian, it's awesome if, like me, you've lived in Italy. What I love about these pods is they really make you feel like you're back in Italy. So, Daniele, it's down to the nitty-gritty of the season. It's always a pleasure to chat Milan with you. So, bentornato to Calcioland.
Grazie mille, David. It's always a pleasure to be your guest. And, finally, the end of this season. Wow. I'm not ready, but it's the only thing that I want. Like I cannot resist anymore. Like it's very tough. It's a very tough situation.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, our friend Giulio said that this was a battaglia di nervi at the end of the season, and that's exactly what it's been. So, yeah, it's almost over, my friend. So I want to ask you this. We're recording this on Thursday, the day after Inter beat Juve. It did go to overtime, which I think was what Milan fans wanted.
Yeah,
ideally.
Yes.
So let me ask you this. When you think of this game, Do you think it's more true that Inter are going to have a psychological boost, kind of how when they went to Turin and beat Juve and got back on track after a difficult period? Or do you think that this extra game that went into overtime in the middle of the week is going to tire them even more? Between the two things, which one do you think is more true?
Well, I think the second one, at least I hope the second one, but I also think about the second one because basically, these two teams are in very different moment in this season. Like Inter is in a period where they are super strong. They won two games in a row. Okay, they lost against Bologna, and that was a capital mistake for them. But they are in a good period, while Juventus is right now it's their season is ended. They are in Champions League, so the minimum goal has been reached, and so I think that basically Inter expected to win that game. The fact that they won that game at overtime could be not good thing, a bad thing for them due to physical struggle. But I have to say they are so strong also from that perspective, from the physical point of view, that it's tough for us Milanisti to think about Inter that don't make 6 points in the next two games. Honestly, so maybe they will be a bit more tired with this overtime, but they are facing Cagliari. Okay, Cagliari needs 3 points or at least 1 point, but it's Cagliari. It's like probably the worst side of this this championship and this season. So let's see. The only thing that is good for us is that everything is it in our hands. So let's hope. I'd say let's hope.
Yeah. So let's get to Milan. And as you said, Milan do control their destiny, especially after that really important win against Verona. I'm old enough to remember the Fatal Verona way back when Milan lost the Scudetto that they thought they had there. Milan went down and, you know, there were some concerns. So let me ask you this. A, how concerned were you going into the game against Verona, and how much did Milan's performance impress you?
So I was worried, of course, because Verona is a very well-trained team. They play a lot like the first Atalanta from Gasperini, so it's never easy to face that team. So of course I was worried before the game, and but I saw just even at the first minute I saw that the approach of the guys of AC Milan was very good, because they were totally focused. They were super, super focused on get the win. So even if Verona scored the first goal, I was pretty sure that we were going to see a sort of reaction from the team. But the great thing from AC Milan's side in that game is that there was not a sort of reaction, because they were so calm, so focused that they keep to play in the perfect way to win that game. And I was surprised about that that game from AC Milan, because in the last games before Lazio and before Fiorentina, we were absolutely not brilliant as a team, but in the last performances were very good, and against Verona is one of the best performances of the whole 2022 from AC Milan. because they were very, very focused. And I need that the men that deserve deserve praises for that win is Stefano Pioli, because Hellas Verona never understood how to defend against Tonali in that position, because Tonali played like a sort of seconda punta. So he was a sort of second center forward, and they never got him, basically. And that was the key for the win against Verona. So absolutely, I'm cheering for my coach at the moment. And let's see, Atalanta and Sassuolo are not easy. Absolutely not easy.
I think you, with Pioli, so well said. You know, there was concern at the end of the season. Pioli team's running out of gas. That hasn't happened this season. He's gone creative with his players. I think, look, I don't think Milan are quite as talented as Inter or even Napoli, but they really are proof that grinta and determination trumps talent when you're really determined. So I totally agree. So let's talk a little bit more about Tonali. That was a great performance. If Milan win the Scudetto, I think of him, maybe even slightly above Leao, as really the player that really stands out to me. So A, I want to ask you if you've ever had a birthday as good as Tonali with that brace against Verona. And, you know, I'm not even going to jinx it saying if Milan win. In general, do you think case can be made that Tonali has been the Milan player of the season?
Well, I think that there's sort of, first, I never had a birthday like the one from Tonali, never. And I think that him being so Milanista, because he is Milanista like me, for example, that was like the perfect birthday, and no, I never, unluckily, I never had a birthday like that. And talking about the MVPs from our season, of course, I'd say Tonali, from my point of view, he is not the MVP, but only because he's the most improved player. Not only of AC Milan, but I'm talking about league, about the Serie A. I think he's the most improved player by far. He had a season that no one except from the board of AC Milan and Stefano Pioli could even guess. Like, I remember well how was Sandro Tonali last season, and whenever I see how confident, how calm, how good he is on the field, on the pitch, it's amazing. So I think that he's not my MVP, and I know that MVP is like the top tier of the awards. But from my point of view, the most improved player of the league is probably even more, because it's a thing that it's unexpected. And I think that right now, the other two guys that are battling for the title of MVP of this season are, one of course is Rafa Leao, who is another huge name for the most improved player of the year of the season. But I think that he's the man, he's the guy who could turn on the light for AC Milan. Like, if you think the not so brilliant performances we had before Lazio, etc., were all games where Leao wasn't so good. Yeah. So he's basically the pillar of AC Milan this season, and I hope that in the next two games he could do great things. And the other name, of course, is Mike Maignan. Maignan was a totally surprise for us. We thought that losing Donnarumma would have meant like losing 15 points in standings, in total points earned. But I think Maignan brings us I don't know, almost 20 points this season. He was totally insane.
Yeah, I think he's been the best keeper in Serie A, and that ball distribution skills that he has is something that Donnarumma didn't bring to the table before. Well said. I like the Tonali as most improved, kind of the Ja Morant in Serie A.
Yeah.
That's a great comp.
Exactly.
I really like it. So, Daniele, A, I want to thank you. You've been an outstanding guest. I love doing shows with you, even on Vox to Box with you guys. So let's close on this. You've been very cautious ever since I've known you, ever since I've had you on the pod. I remember last year when Milan were, serious contention for the Scudetto. You kept telling me, you know what, I'll sign in blood for fourth place right now.
Yes.
This season, you've been very cautious. You've been trying not to set yourself up for disappointment. But look, Milan controlled their destiny. Two games to go. I kind of think that it's ironic that it's Atalanta and Sassuolo, because I feel like Milan fans are chirping at Atalanta and Sassuolo a lot in recent years. And I really think that Milan will be fully back when they don't look at Atalanta and Sassuolo this way anymore.
Yes.
So I think it's really ironic that it's ending with this. So let me ask you this. And I know Scaramanzia, there's that. And I know you're very cautious. But give us a little sense on how disappointed would you be if Milan don't win it? It's so close now. Just give us a sense of how you're feeling going into the stretch run.
So if I tell you that I won't be totally destroyed by losing this championship, I would be a liar. And that is the other thing I want to say. No, of course, it's like we are 4 points distance to the goal. So the goal is 4 points away from us. We have these two games. We have to fight for these two games. And I hope and I think and I want this Scudetto so bad, because it's almost unexpected also, this Scudetto. But I think it's truly deserved. Like, this team, this squad, this coach, this board, these fans. Gosh, we deserve this title. We deserve, because like the squad, the team is super young, super skilled. The coach never won anything. The board is new, and they did just few mistakes in these 2 years and a half, etc. And the fans are amazing. We had like a million of fans this season in the stadium, a million. And for half of the season, the stadium was not a full capability.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a data that is amazing. And we the fans, we came from like 10 years that was ridiculous, but in a bad way. Like, ridiculous because everyone was laughing at us. that is. And it was like, it was all deserved, because we were terrible. So I won't be a liar with you. So I'd be totally devastated and totally grounded if we are not going to win this championship. So let's hope.
Look, that is so well said, Daniele, on the deserve, because look, Milan cut costs on the squad. They put lines in the sand with agents saying there's some things we just won't do. They've played really well. Look, I try not to talk too much about referees, but I think if you look at it, Milan versus Inter with referees this season, I could see how the case could be made that it helped Inter more. And yeah, the fan support's been great. So very well said. And What's also been great is all your contributions to the podcast. I can't thank you enough. What I really love is that, you know, when I talk to you, I feel like a lot of my best friends in Padova are all Milanisti. And when I talk to you, it's like I feel like I'm just talking to them. And that's really what I wanted to do with the pod, was give a sense to people of what it's like to talk calcio in Italy.
Thank you very much.
Everyone, check out Box to Box. It's amazing. Daniele, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure talking calcio with you this season.
Thank you, David. And let's hope for Forza Milan.